Is it permissible for you or for me to get excited? Or do you know what that word excited means? Have you ever been excited? It's not July the 24th yet. We're not to playing baseball. But you know what it means. I was excited when I read this. Well, let me see. I've one thing to say. That's all. One point. I have five verses or five places to read in the Word. One Bill already read. But what got me started was a verse that we were studying in our Bible study, midweek Bible study. And it's found in, and if you want to look at it, that's fine. The other places are not hard to find. This is 1 John, sorry. The first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 27. And this got me started. I didn't know it was just 2 weeks ago. I was thinking it was just last week. It was last week that I was going to speak, and I thought, oh boy, I've got longer than 5 minutes to talk on this. And Bill said, I'm going to be so busy all week. If you want to talk next Sunday, go ahead. So this is why I'm talking. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. As for you, now, you're going to have to put up with different versions this morning. Some of you may be reading from the King James, the authorized version. And others have different versions. This one is the NIV, which I personally like the best of any so far. And I have another version I'm going to read from. But I wanted to show you how it got started. The words may be a little bit different. You know, I was thinking about that. All these versions, even Bill, when he gets up to preach from King James, he will tell you what it really means. He reads the verse and tells you what, right? Don't look at me so blankly. These translators of the scriptures from Hebrew in the Old Testament mostly, and from Greek in the New Testament, they had really an impossible job. Now, if their job was to communicate the thoughts of Christ, then fine, they did. But they had a job where they could not say in Greek what was in Hebrew, or even in Hebrew, what really would, that we can grasp. Even those who understand Greek and understand Hebrew can't fully grasp everything that's there. Now, that's what I say. Take it for what it's worth. But I believe that. That they can give a picture, a facet, like the rings that some people are wearing. If it has a diamond on, you look at, you know, they have facets. And you get one picture from that, from a facet. And they give a picture that is not complete. And some give better pictures than others. All right, you will not find these words in the King James. Verse 27, 1 John 2:27. But you will find the idea. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And it goes on to say, well, let's read it. And you do not need anyone to teach you, that is, to tell you this is truth. You didn't know what was truth, though. Here it is. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, And as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Okay, back. Just that portion. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you. And the more I thought about that, the more excited I got. And that's what I wanted to share, or was thinking of sharing last week. Or I don't know what Bill says, 2 weeks ago, maybe.
No, last week.
Last week? Yeah, I didn't think it could last 2 weeks. I hope it can last the rest of my life. And I wanted to share that with you so that you will get excited. I mean, really excited. Now, it's just for you who are here. You don't go outside in the streets of this town, Mooreville, and you don't go outside with a sign on the front or a sign on the back saying, oh, well, this one thought is this. I'm a little ahead of myself. The words aren't here, but these are the words. Don't you know? Well, come on. Let's turn to the second portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? Now that's it. And then what we're going to read this morning is and talk about is just that. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple? Now, that's what I meant. You don't go outside and put a sign on your back and say, I'm God's temple. I mean, lots of people think you're a little off the rocker as it is, don't they? What would they think if you went down the streets of Mooreville? I'm God's temple. Wow. A little bit off the rocker. Quite a little. But you tell them that anyhow. By the way you speak and the way you act. Right? Isn't that exciting? I am God's temple. You are God's temple. And I look in the mirror and I say, some temple. You look at me and say, some temple. I mean that wrinkly old wart or whatever you call these blemishes, face full of that, scraggly hair. You are God's temple? You're kidding me. You're kidding yourself. Paul said, don't you know that? He told some Corinthian church, don't you know that you are God's temple? So that sent me through, well, I happened to be reading in the Old Testament at the time too. And I want to turn to the Old Testament with you. I want you to turn with me if you like. Or just listen. You got ears? Just listen. And here I'm picking up another version of the Bible. And I won't say that I would recommend that you read it. And I won't say that I wouldn't recommend that you read it. This is my first time. I enjoy reading it because the words and thoughts are, though 99% the same, there's a little facet of it that I hadn't seen before. Here and there, just a flat facet. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. This is the temple. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 11. Let's look at verse 8. Chapter 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 8. there was a huge, huge gathering. King David had called together in his last year of life, he'd called together the people of Israel. Started with the leaders. Leaders, commanders of 1,000, commanders of 100, started with them. And the news, of course, spread over the kingdom. Most of it would be, like from here to Red Deer, that long, and maybe not quite that wide. They didn't have these little machines that you people have today. I don't have one. Don't know how it works. But you punch, 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 punch. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what they're called.
But
they say I got two different answers. Couldn't hear either one of them, but you know what was said. David called the people together. And this is what he said. Verse 8. Now, in front of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of God, I tell you these things. Be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God. Then you will keep this good land and pass it on to your descendants forever. So far, so good. It's wonderful. Now, verse 9. And you, my son Solomon, and remember, this is a father speaking to his son in front of the whole country of Israel. And you, my son Solomon, accept the God of your father, accept him, serve him completely and willingly, because the Lord knows what is in everyone's mind. He knows if it's unwilling, if you're unwilling, dragging your feet. He understands, that's not in the Bible, that's, you know, coming out of my mouth. He understands everything you think. Scary, very scary. If you go to him for help, you will get an answer. But if you turn away from him, he will leave you forever. Solomon, you must understand this. The Lord has chosen you to build the temple as his holy place. Be strong and finish the job. And finish the job. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for building the temple. Can't build without a plan. Can't put up a house without a plan. Can't put up a hospital without a plan. Right, Jean-Claude? Look at the smile on his face. He heard me. He gave his son plans for building the temple and the courtyard around the temple. Now, that there are some different words for that in your version of the Bible. But this is this man's understanding of what those words are saying. I forget the words now, but anyhow. They include its buildings, plural, its storerooms, its upper rooms, its inside rooms, and the place where the people's sins are removed. They sure used a different word in other versions, but that's what it means, according to the man who translated this Bible. All right, why am I reading this? Because this is talking about the temple. And remember, Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of God? David, verse 12, David gave him plans for everything he had in mind. The courtyards around the Lord's temple and all the rooms around it, the temple treasuries and the treasures of the holy items used in the temple. David gave Solomon directions for the groups of priests and Levites. David told him about all the work of serving in the temple of the Lord and about the items to be used in the temple service that were made of gold or silver. Now, here's the beginning of the picture. There are items to be used in the worship of God that were made of gold or silver. David told Solomon how much gold or silver should be used to make each thing. David told him how much gold to use for each gold lampstand and its lamps, and how much silver to use for each silver lampstand and its lamps. The different lampstands were to be used where needed. David told how much gold should be used for each table that held the holy bread, and how much silver should be used for the silver tables. He told how much pure gold, goes from gold to pure gold. I guess that's the differentiating between 24 carat and 18 carat. I mean, isn't that the way we talk today? I think. How much pure gold should be used to make the forks, bowls, and pitchers, and how much gold should be used to make each gold dish. He told how much silver should be used to make each silver dish, and how much pure gold should be used for the altar of incense. He also, you know, these things are so foreign to me, and they're so foreign to you, I'm sure, that it's hard to really appreciate what is being said. But bear with me. He also gave Solomon the plans for the chariot of the golden creatures, the cherubim, that spread their wings over the ark of the agreement with the Lord, covenant of the Lord. David said, verse 19, all these plans were written with the Lord guiding me. He helped me understand everything in the plans. David also said to his son Solomon, be strong and brave and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged because the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or leave you until all the work for the temple of the Lord is finished. The groups of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God. Every skilled worker is ready to help you with all the work. The leaders and all the people will obey every command you give. Chapter 29. King David said to all the Israelites who are gathered, God chose my son Solomon, who is young and hasn't yet learned what he needs to know. Now, wait a minute. How old was David? How old was Solomon? Now, any teenager here, or any 20-ager here, you're really young compared to Solomon. And David says to Solomon, or about him, in front of the whole of the country, what did he say? God chose my son Solomon, who is young, 40-year-old, but the God chose my son Solomon, who's young, and hasn't yet learned what he needs to know. That's just by the way, but I thought that was pretty good. This palace is not for people. It is for the Lord God. I have done my best to prepare for building the temple of God. I have given gold for the things made of gold, and silver for the things made of silver. I've given bronze for the things made of bronze, and iron for the things made of iron. I've given wood for the things made of wood, and onyx for the settings. I've given turquoise gems of many different colors, valuable stones. Why am I reading this? To get the picture, a little picture, of what this, how magnificent this temple of God was. Valuable stones and white marble. I've given much of all these things. I have already given this for the temple. But now, I'm also giving my own treasures of gold and silver. And because, and this is put differently from, is expressing his excitement. Because I really want the temple of my God to be built. Now, if you read your Bible, you'll see that it's there, but not quite that way. I really want the temple of my God to be built. How much more you and I have, how much more, how much greater reason we have to be excited. I really want this temple, God, to show, reflect you. I've given about 220,000 pounds of pure gold from Ophir and about 520,000 of pure silver. £220,000. Okay. I bet I spent 20 minutes or more thinking of that. 220,000 pounds of gold. We all know how big a pound of butter is, right? That's an ancient measure, a pound. But anyhow, we go to the store and we don't say, I want 1.6 kilograms. No, I want 0.6 kilograms of butter. It's 1 pound. So long, so wide, so deep. A pound. How many pounds, by the way, how many pounds of gold do you have? How many ounces of gold do you have? John, the money man, is at the back seat there. How many pounds of gold do you have kicking around your place?
Just the canola.
Pounds of canola. 220,000 pounds of gold. How many ounces is that? Well, for gold, it's measured in the troy ounce, 12 ounces to a pound. Not the ounce that we use, what the ladies use when they're baking. In fact, ounces is an ancient measure. It must be at least have been replaced a few years ago anyhow.
2,640,000 ounces.
Did you hear that?
Almost
3 million ounces. Ounces? Millions? How much is an ounce worth? Do you know any idea how much an ounce of gold is worth? What did he say?
1,400.
1,400 what? Feathers? Dollars.
U.S. dollars.
U.S. Well, okay. Fewer dollars, a little bit fewer than Canadian now. But, wow. Multiply that figure that Al just shouted, 2 million something.
3,696 billion?
See, he's stuck.
That's a phenomenal number. I'm trying to count all the zeros here.
Yeah, 3 billion something. Almost 4 billion.
No, I think he said 360 some billion.
He's a little mixed up. He can't count all those zeros. Now, are you getting the idea? I'm a phenomenal amount, and that's not all. Look where, carry on. That's apart from the silver. I've given about 200, 500, where are we? They will be used, yeah, the same verse, 4. They will be used to cover the walls of the buildings and for all the gold and silver work. Skilled men may use the gold and silver to make things for the temple. Now, this is happening. David's saying it to the whole of Israel. Now, who is ready to give himself to the service of the Lord today? Wow. Can imagine. There you are, some of the nobles, some of the Levites, some of the commanders of the army, etc., etc. Who is willing to give himself to the work of the Lord? I've given this, $2 or $3 billion. And what they do? What they say? Oh, you've given enough. They gave more, half as much again, willingly. They didn't even ask their wives if they could do it. They gave willingly more than what David had given. And David is only a part of it that would have been collected for years to put in the temple. Well, now, you know what's left of the temple today, don't you? Few big rocks, carved rocks, against which people go and put their heads, certain people, put their heads and go back and forth like this, and they're praying. And the pile of dirt up behind it, rocks up behind it, that's what's left of this beautiful building. In fact, on top, a little bit, not far away, a few feet away, a few dozen feet, sits Islamic temple, mosque. That's all that's left of, you know, my excitement's carried me away. I only wanted this, oh my, the time, because we have some beautiful pictures to look at too. Anyhow, we'll stop that part of the Chronicles, and we'll go back to Corinthians. This kind of excited me. I've been reading it all week, every day, and it didn't quite wear off. I got more and more excited. That was a temple that meant everything to the people of Israel 2,000-3,000 years ago. And then the verse that I read, that I didn't read, or did I read it? In 1 Corinthians 3, I read it. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Then verse 17 says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. And your first thought is, I think, if anyone comes to me with a spear or sword or gun and kills me, don't you know that that person will be killed by God? But that may be true. I mean, it's a warning. But what about you and me? Don't you know that you are God's temple and that if you do anything to destroy God's temple, God will destroy you? Is that a bad interpretation? That's bad? That's not bad. How can I destroy God's temple? How can I destroy this temple? I hit my stomach. How can you destroy the temple of God? Seriously. By what we say? I'm more than a little ashamed of some of the things that I've said, even in my home. I didn't act like God's temple. I didn't act as if God were dwelling in. How else can I destroy it? By what I think. Boy, I've been thinking about this for weeks. I'm sure that every one of us has a thought life. And you think about what? Oh, if you're a hunter, you think about September 17 when the season opens. Oh man, I have to stop myself from thinking about September 17. If you are a man versus a woman, but if you are a man, are all the thoughts that go through your mind in accord with being God's temple? I have to say, Lord, chase out those thoughts. Help me to think of other things that are clean, beautiful, valuable. I can destroy God's temple by how? By working. I can destroy God's temple by eating, drinking, and doing other things. I can destroy God's temple. God made this temple. It's important. Now, I had two other thoughts to say, two other verses to look at. And let's look at them. The verse that was read today, chapter 6. Turn over the page. Verse 6, 19. We'll just go read that. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? A little different words. God's temple, chapter 3. Temple of the Holy Spirit, chapter 6. Who is in you? What an awesome thought. God, the Spirit, is in me. Is in me. He resides in me. Who, it says, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Somber thoughts. Maybe you've been working at learning this during your life, and maybe you're not finished at learning, at working at this. You are God's temple. Honor God with your body. And the last place is 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 16, I think. There's a whole section there. Oh, boy, you could have a whole sermon on this. I won't, because I wanted us to look at some pictures. Verse 16. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord, etc. But there's a whole sermon there, which we will leave. Are you getting the point? Am I getting the point? I have how many years left to live? How many years do you have left to live? Whatever it is, if Christ is living within us, you are the temple of God. When they first built the temple in Solomon's day, remember the story? How Solomon offered, it took 7 years to build. It took, I think 30 or 40,000 men. Can you imagine that? Working for 7 years, cutting rocks, cutting trees, sawing lumber, beautiful cedar and pine, erecting the temple. I don't know how they cut rocks. I don't know how they cut rocks today. I was going to bring a little rock that was cut and I forgot. But cut it. All of this for 7 years for thousands of people. Billions of dollars erecting this temple. And when they dedicated it to the Lord, the priests are supposed to go in a certain area, the courtyard, offer sacrifices. They couldn't go in because God's glory shone so intensely that they couldn't go in. They had to do it outside. That's why I'm excited. God has called you and me to shine for Him. To reflect His glory, if you like, but not only to reflect, He's living within. To show by our speech and by our lives, by our actions, that we are His. Because He wants that glory. He took us up out of the mud. Whether you believe that or not, it's true. He took us from the miry clay, the Peace River gumbo, and He cleaned us. And He has come in to reside permanently. He did it. Not you, not I. And so God is telling us today, for the rest of our lives, remember, don't you know, said Paul, don't you know that you're the temple of God? Therefore show it. Let people see it. Whether they accept or not, doesn't matter. Reflect Him. Live for Him.